How's it going this morning?
Good.
All right. Fire away.
I'm going to get your opinion on Ty Law being one of the 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Great, yeah. Great player. Really no weaknesses in Ty's game. Strong physical tackler, jam receivers, good coverage player, great hands, interceptor. Really enjoyed coaching him in 96 as a position coach and just, you know, spending a lot of, individual time with him as a, you know, as his coach. So that was, we had a good group that year, you know, Lawyer and Otis and Tabucky and Scooter and those guys. So, but it was good. It's a good player. Yeah.
Did you feel that he was among the very best, or possibly the best at his position for a period of time, maybe from 96 to 98 through 2004, 2005?
It's pretty good. I mean, when you start, you know, I'll say changing the rules because of the way he plays, then, you know, it's probably something to be said for that. I know they didn't change him, but they, yeah, we all know what happened.
Enough is enough with Tyler.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about Marcus Cannon, and just, you know, we've talked about him a couple times during the season, but how hard is it for a player to maybe go through a difficult period mentally, as he may have had at the end of last year? He had a difficult game against Denver and then bounce back. What's it say about him, aside from all the things that he's done on the field, but the mental aspect?
Well, I think Marcus showed a lot of mental toughness from the day he got here. I mean, he came in, had to go through the cancer treatments and all that. I mean, honestly, it's hard for a rookie to come into the National Football League and just make the adjustment, period. Marcus came in with all that a rookie normally had, plus his personal situation, and the treatments and the checkups and so forth. And so I thought he handled that, you know, with great maturity. And so he's shown a lot of mental toughness. Probably everything else is not really in the same category as that. But yeah, he shows up to work every day. He's totally team-oriented, does whatever you ask him to do. We've asked him to do a lot, play both tackles, play guard, play inside. So he never blinks. He just tries to do whatever he can do to help the team and works as hard as he can. And so I think he has a lot of respect in that locker room.
But where do you feel the communication level is on the defense? I know you spoke about the safeties recently, but the linebackers position specifically, you know, there's been some change at that spot this year, and Dante talked about it a little bit earlier today. Do you feel like it's improved to the point where you want it now, or is there still some room to grow there?
Well, I think like everything else, it doesn't really matter where anything was. It's where it'll be next Saturday night, so that'll be the challenge. Is to have everything the best that it could be next Saturday night. So honestly, I don't really care where anything was during the regular season. It doesn't matter whether, you know, how good it was or wasn't. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is where it is next Saturday night. So that's what we have to work toward, making each one of us, every player, every coach, be able to give our absolute best performance next Saturday night. That's all we care about. So we can keep working on everything. We need work on everything. But we got to do a good job next Saturday night.
Martellus Bennett is certainly a unique individual. Jordan, how well has he fit into this team this year and this program?
Yeah, he's done a good job. I mean, I think our team has a good there's a lot of guys that have a good rapport in the locker room. There's a lot of mutual respect in there. And guys are different, but that's okay. They get along. They care for each other. They work with each other. They're good teammates. So that's the bottom line.
during the regular season, you only you kept your challenge flag in your sock for pretty much the whole year. You had one challenge in week three. I'm curious if that was just a result of that's just the way the season unfolded, or if there was anything that you changed maybe in more conservative.
That's just the way it went. I mean, I think I said a couple times this year, I think that overall the in the games that we've had, you know, I really haven't had many issues at all with the officiating. You know, I've had a couple questions that were more procedural, you know, the dean clarified for me, but otherwise, you know, I mean, had some calls go for us, had some calls go against us, but I mean, overall, I think that they're in position and they've done a good job. They've kept control of the games. We've had some, you know, emotional games, some tough games, but I think that overall, they've done a good job of, you know, letting the players play, keeping it competitive, not over officiating the game, and just, you know, letting the players play. I think that's what we all want. So, no, it's really hadn't really been much to talk about. So it's a good thing.
Bill, players off a couple days this weekend. Do you set any specific expectations for them when they're off? Any specific homework assignments?
Any specific what?
Homework assignments that they have to do when they're not here?
Sometimes. Sometimes I do. Sometimes. Yeah, I mean, it varies. There's no, like, set.
Something you will do this week on the bye week when you don't have a game?
I'll do what I always do. Do what I think is best for the football team. That's what I always do. That's what it'll be.
See anything you'd like us to work on?
What about you? No, I think you guys got it pretty well under control. Best group I've seen in a long time.
So we worked on it.
I know you got to ask those questions, and so you ask them. I'm just trying to do your job. I totally get it.
Hey, what about you this weekend? Do you relax, or do you just keep going forward and looking at the possible opponent?
I mean, this is we're in the home stretch right here. I don't think this is time for the coaches to back off, or anybody for that matter. I mean, this is what it's all about. This is the highest level of competition that you can have. It's the best teams, and we're going to have to play and coach our best. And we don't know who it is, so there's right now three teams that we could potentially play that we have to be ready for. And regardless who we play, there are things that we need to do, but then we also need to know as much as we can and be prepared for the players when they come back in to give them the best information, the best scout report, and the best game plan we can to give them the best chance to win. So, yeah, that job isn't done yet. Still got a lot of work to do.
Yesterday, Devin was telling us about a speech you gave to the team, I think his rookie year, 2010. At this point, going into the playoffs, where you don't care, you told the team, I don't care about experience because I've seen good players not play well in the playoffs with no experience and vice versa and whatever. I'm just curious, from your aspect, why is that? Why does the lack of experience or the relative experience not really carry over in the playoffs? Why is that?
I would say it doesn't. I just said there's no guarantee that it does. I mean, how'd you think Brady played in his first playoff games? How'd you think Edelman played in his? How'd you think Lawrence Taylor played in his? Experience is all there was to it, then those games wouldn't have been won by the players or those teams that those guys played on. So,
how nice is it to have the depth you have at receiver going into the playoffs this year? It seems like you just have more bodies, maybe a little more depth than you've had in previous seasons in that position.
We were probably better than we were last year, but that wouldn't take much. So, again, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't, you know, whatever we have, and we got to go out there and perform as well as we can with whoever we have, wherever we have them. So, I mean, you know, depth's just bunch of names on a piece of paper. It's this point in the season, it's how we play, how we coach, how we play, how we perform. That's what it's all about. So,
how competitive would you say that group is as a whole?
Like work ethic competitive? Good. Great. Work hard every day. Yeah, don't look to take plays off when scout team plays. These guys work hard. The whole team works hard. This is a hardworking group. They're not looking for much. They try, you know, they've earned everything they've gotten. That's the way it should be.
Yesterday we heard from Matthew Slater about receiving the Bart Starr Award, and then the public got a chance to see some of the session, the meeting where he was informed by Mrs. Starr that he was the recipient. The fact that that was shared with all the teammates and got the response that it did, how much does that reflect the respect that he engenders in that locker room, but also the kind of the closeness you try to breed with the team?
Well, I don't think there's any question. That's one of the most respected players on our team and probably in the league. You know, he's right at the top of that group of guys. So it's not just the players. It's everybody in our organization. Again, we have a lot of great players and great people on our team. But, you know, we're proud of him for the award, the recognition that he received. And, you know, we're all happy for him.
Bill, Chokin, you played almost every snap on the offensive line this year. How rare is it for a rookie to step in and do that in that position?
Yeah, I mean, really in any position. But look, for any player to play a lot of snaps at any position, rookie or anything else, is, you know, there's something to be said for that. I mean, just durability and being able to stay out there day after day, week after week, is tough in this league. So Joe's done a good job of that, though. He's showed up every day, not just in the regular season, but in training camp and all spring. He's been really durable.
Coach, obviously some teams when watching football are more fun to watch. Are some teams more fun to break down when you're really getting into an opponent than others, or is it all the same?
Well, it's not all the same. It's all different. You know, each team's got their own kind of way of winning. They've got their own, obviously, personnel and their coaching staff. And even though systems may be similar, they're different because the players are different and the actual people that are responsible for that system are different. So each team's unique. Every game's, even if you play the same team over again, it's different. For there's certain circumstances that are different, but each one's got its own challenges, and I think that's the intriguing part to me, is to try to figure out, you know, what it is about this team and how they play and how they win and what gives them trouble. And they break it down from a team standpoint, offense, defense, special teams, then individually, and try to put it all together the best that you can. But that's, yeah, each one's different, and that's, I mean, I find that fascinating, to be honest with you. That's really what it's all about, to try to figure that out. Who you're playing, what they do, how you're going to attack it. Some teams, you know fairly well, and it's a quicker process, especially if you've dealt with them more recently. But teams that you haven't, then that's, you know, or if they've made, you know, significant changes to their team since the last time you played them, then you got to start, not start all over again, but you got to figure out a lot more. So, I think that's the very interesting part of it. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's time consuming. And of course, every team wants to be balanced and not, certain things you want to do, but you got to have compliments to them, because you just can't keep doing the same thing in this league all the time. It's just impossible. So trying to figure out, you know, how those are, what they are, when they come, how you're going to deal with them. Yeah.
So it seemed like the Raiders that you haven't played this year, how much do you just happen to see them in your film study, studying other teams? Like, do you have?
We really haven't had a lot of crossover with them. You know, we didn't play that division. The only team we played was Denver. And we just, since our division didn't play them, then there was no crossover. Whereas teams like the NFC West, like we saw a lot of San Francisco and a lot of the Rams, and, you know, because then Seattle, because Miami played them and Buffalo played them and all that. So that division, we didn't really get a lot of crossover on. But even if we had, we wouldn't have been studying them too much other than to see how they were playing, like Denver. You know, you see how Oakland played Denver and what they did or what Denver was trying to do against them, and then, you know, you kind of match that up. But, it's really a whole new process when you just focus on one team. Sometimes a little knowledge is a bad thing. You just see a few plays, you see a couple things, and you think, well, this is what that team is, but it's really not. And then when you get in there and dig through it, you find out that this isn't, these few plays, but that's not really a representative sample. So I think you got to be careful about that. Sometimes a little knowledge can be dangerous.
Bill, do teams change tendencies heading into the playoffs?
I think, I think teams do it on a regular basis anyway. We see it every week. Here's something they're doing, and then in the game you see something, and the first thing you think of is, okay, they're trying to break that tendency. They're trying to offset that. Now, they might not be able to do all of them. You might have, 10 tendencies. You might see 3 or 4 of them that it's obvious to you that, okay, they're trying to get in this formation and run a different play, or give you this look and not blitz out of it because they've been blitzing out of it, or put this player in the game and instead of doing what they normally do with them, do something else. So, but I think that's pretty common. You know, normally those tendencies don't necessarily hold up for a long time. So, the team does a certain thing and that's their tendency, and they put in a couple key breakers, especially if it's early in the game. A lot of times you'll sit there and say, okay, well, they were trying to break that tendency, but I don't think that's really what they want to do. I think they're probably going to go back to what their tendency is. They just wanted to, kind of try to scare you out of overplaying what they really want by showing you something that was a compliment to it. But, it's a little bit of the cat and mouse game that you play. So, but yeah, I think that's, it's part of the playoffs, but it's part of every game. I don't think there's too many weeks that there's some element of that doesn't come up.
Bill, I know that how productive practices have been at this stage of the year. I know there have been guys that have missed, but it seems like maybe compared to other years, I'm just thinking about last year where maybe you had players that, you had a good number of players that were unavailable at this time of year. I'm just wondering.
I understand the question, Phil. I don't really care about last year. I don't really care about the year before that. I don't really care about the decade before that, honestly. It doesn't matter. So where are we now? What's the best thing we can do to help our team? How can we get better yesterday, today, to play our best football a week from Saturday night? That's really what it's all about. So where we were or weren't some other year, who cares? It's where we are now, and what's the best thing we can do? So whatever that is, then that's what we're going to try to do. Sometimes you emphasize one area because you can't emphasize another area for one reason or another. But what you can do, you do. What you can't do, then if you can't do it, then you can't do it. So, or you do the best you can in that area, but even though it's not what you want, it's the best you can do. So that's where we're at on everything. We're going to try to, yesterday and today, we're going to try to, and Friday, we're going to make these days as productive as we can. We're going to try to get as much out of them as we can. There are a lot of things we're trying to balance between preparation, corrections, new things, rest. It's a long list. In the end, we'll try to get the most out of them that we can. That's what our job is. So, whatever happens some other year, it doesn't really matter. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Michael Floyd. You've had him here another week. You had a game, a couple obviously big plays. Talk about what you've learned about him now over this short stretch that he's been here.
Michael's worked hard. He's worked hard. He's gotten better. Obviously, each time he goes out and runs a play for the second, third, fourth, fifth time, there's a higher level of execution, confidence. Then there's some new plays that we can add on there because we have a base to build from. So, he comes in early, he stays late, he works hard. He's gaining ground on it. He's never going to catch up, and there's a long, too far to go, but, he's closing the gap, and he's been able to help us on some things, and we'll just see what the game plan is next week and how it all comes together. Let's take it from there. But he's doing a good job. He's making progress. Okay. All right. Yep, thank you.